Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Two Adams. Now, this might seem a little puzzling at the first, but I think that we will let the scriptures themselves explain the title, The Two Adams. I'm going to read from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 45, we'll read through verse 50. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we would welcome you reading with us. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now we must say the last Adam is Christ, Christ himself. The first Adam was the head of a federal race. I should say he was the federal head of a race. The last Adam is the federal head of another race. The first race, the first Adam, is an earthly race. Let's just go on reading. I'll read the verse again, and this will help us to understand the two Adams. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. But afterward, that which is spiritual. Christ came after Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven simply by being born into the first Adam's race. We're eligible, true, but we will not go to heaven simply because we are human beings. We will go to heaven because we were born into the family of the last Adam by means of a spiritual birth, which we will examine later in the broadcast. Now, we have to be in the family of the federal head of the eternal race. Now, this may explain the title, The Two Adams. Now, I think I'll give a rundown on the subject that we will be considering in the next five broadcasts. Adam lost spiritual life. We have gained through Christ eternal life. Adam lost innocency. We through Christ have gained holiness. Adam lost a partial fellowship with God. We have gained through Christ an eternal fellowship with God. Adam lost the Garden of Eden. We have gained heaven, the abode of God. Adam lost the lordship of creation. We shall reign with Christ. Now, this will give you some conception of how we're going to handle the subject, the two Adams. I think it's a thrilling study, and I hope you can continue throughout all these studies. Now, to the business at hand, let's consider the fact that Adam lost spiritual life. In Genesis chapter 2, God warned that it would happen. And then in chapter 3, Satan caused it to happen. In chapter 3, Adam and Eve realized it had happened. But in the same chapter, God sought them out even after it happened. Now God said to Adam, as he created him, the Lord God, in verse 16 of chapter 2, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, Satan comes onto the scene to spoil this fellowship between God and his creature, man. Adam was made Lord over the creation, and that had previously been the portion of Lucifer, Satan. And Satan was jealous, and he wanted to get it back. He wanted to take it away from Adam. He had so many objectives. And he came into the Garden of Eden, and we read now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field with the Lord God, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did you understand God correctly? You notice how skillfully he uses the question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This was a lie. The first lie that was told of the human race. And then Satan goes on in such a logical manner, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now we see the terrible truth of the matter. They were fully conscious of that separation from God. Now let's go quickly to Christ, the last Adam, and what we have gained through him in to reverse the awful, destructive mischief of Satan. Christ came into this world, a man, the federal head of a new race. And he gives us eternal life. And we'll turn to the third chapter of John and search out the truth of the life that Christ gives. This is familiar ground. Many of you will be able to recognize that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now we see here that the Spirit is that wonderful agent that brings us in to the family of the last Adam and gives us that everlasting eternal life. Nicodemus was puzzled. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He couldn't understand. Now the Lord gives him an illustration. Illustrations are wonderful. He tells them the story of Moses and the brazen serpent in the wilderness, and stories are like windows. They let in the light. Nicodemus would be very familiar with this. He was the teacher of Israel. Now, the children of Israel sinned against the Lord. They complained and bitterly, and God sent serpents in among them, and they bit the people of Israel, and many of them died, and they came to Moses. They confessed their sins, and they said, take away the serpents. And God told Moses, make a serpent out of brass and put it up on a pole, and it'll come to pass that if any man looks at that serpent who has been bitten by the fiery serpents, that he'll have life. You know, it worked. God's plans always work. And then the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him up to be lifted up on a cross, to die on a cross for your sins and for mine, taking our place, taking our judgment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Nicodemus, all of humanity has got a poison within them. How did that poison get into the human family? By a serpent in the Garden of Eden, just like the fiery serpents bit the children of Israel. Their healing was accomplished by looking at a serpent of brass. Our healing is accomplished by looking at not the serpent of brass, but Moses, but our Lord Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. Now, when we look to him and realize why he was there and trust it and believe that he died for our sins, we are given everlasting, eternal life that shall never perish. How do we get that life? We get it by the agency of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives us that life the moment that we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born of the Spirit. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ and puts that life within me. The Apostle Paul speaks so plainly about this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How does the Spirit bring the life of Christ into me? I don't know. I don't even know how I got physical life. I didn't ask to be born into this world. I had nothing to do with it. But do you know that you and I have something to do with being born into the family of the last Adam? Yes, we do have something to do about it. We can exercise faith, or we can withhold it. And when we do exercise faith, when we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, when he did everything that was necessary to take us to heaven, when we put our faith in Christ, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ and puts that life within us, and it's an eternal life. It's eternal from the standpoint of time, or chronology, if I may put it that way. Time will cease. And it's eternal by reason of its character. It's the life of Christ. It has to be eternal, and that's the character of the life. And you and I may realize that life today by believing in the Lord Jesus, our Father today. We pray that you bless this series of studies, and may these things become very, very plain as the Spirit of God reveals them to us. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Thank you.